wizard, Harry. Welcome to the Harry Potter Book Club for The Goblet of Fire with
Vijaya Shrestha,
Michael DeMauro,
and I'm Sarah Tompkins. This week, we discuss the unforgivable curses. We continue the Tri-Quizzard tournament, and Michael just can't sleep and needs to tell us more about Peeves. Hello, and welcome to episode 14 of this book, aka the 14th installment of the Tri-Quizzard Tournament, Task 1. We are neck and neck, as I have said in a previous episode. We are very close, though, and I believe that me and Michael are the first... Nope. I thought Michael and I were the first up because you got the question wrong against Vijaya? No, against
me. Yes. I got both of them wrong.
So Michael got the previous questions both wrong.
Yes.
Megan.
Thanks for
who goes first? Who goes first against Michael?
That would be Vijaya.
Okay, so Vijaya and Michael. Face off. First we have to wait for Vijaya to
finish Snapchatting.
Snapchat.
It's okay. Very important.
Done. Go.
Ready?
Yeah.
Ready.
How did Beauxbatons arrive at Hogwarts?
Ding, ding, ding.
Oh, that was a tie.
Really? I heard Vijaya. Yeah. But
what does the chat say?
So
that sounded like a tie to me.
Okay. Well, why don't we do a tie then? Why don't we do a countdown?
Yeah.
Okay. One, two,
well, hold on.
Three.
Let's see if they
Oh, well, we can.
No, you're
It could just be my delay here. Oh, somebody heard Michael.
Someone heard tie.
Okay, so why don't we do a tie? I like the tie. I like ties better than
okay. I mean, we could just listen to the chat room because the one person said.
Okay.
Okay.
Four people said tie. So, okay.
Okay.
Five people said tie.
Great.
Cool. Okay.
One, two, three.
Giant
flying horse-drawn carriage.
Yes, you're both correct. You said it differently. Both correct.
Okay.
Okay.
Wait, what did Michael say?
He just said flying carriage. Which is acceptable.
He said horse something carriage.
I think, no, Michael said flying carriage, and you said flying horse-drawn carriage. Both good.
More right,
both acceptable.
Writer. I could have gone into great detail.
Michael could have described the beautiful stallions that pulled that carriage.
What their favorite drink is.
Yeah, all right, this is
Fanta. Everyone knows French horses like Fanta.
Tiebreaker?
Tiebreaker.
This is multi-part tiebreaker
for
the answer. Yeah. What
multi-part?
Were
Wait, multi-part? Yeah. Multi-part? Holy shit. Okay.
Whoa.
10 seconds behind, Michael.
I don't know how this works, okay. But okay.
You can do this.
All right.
What were the Tri-Wizard tasks?
Ding, ding, ding.
Beep.
Michael.
The first task was getting the golden egg from the dragons. The second task was freeing your friends from underwater. Mm-hmm. And the third task was going through the maze.
Yes.
Gosh.
All right. Michael
hate
on
it.
That one.
Yay.
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 Hate it.
Hey, Vijaya.
Hate it.
Hey, come on.
Guys, just be friends.
Come on. I just came to have fun.
Okay. We're outside the bathroom.
She came in through the bathroom window. We owe Paul McCartney more money. Okay.
Yep.
Let's go.
All right. So this is...
You and me, Sarah.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready.
What happened to Fred and George when they tried to put their names in the Goblet of Fire? Vijaya.
They got thrown away, thrown across the room, and they grew beards.
Yep.
And long hair.
Right. Yep. I would have accepted several answers for that, but that
God, you were so
the
fast, Vijaya. You're so fast.
Man, speedy.
I was waiting for her to
and thorough.
Finish the sentence.
That's why Vijaya's in first place. With 9.5 points.
Yes!
Michael and Sarah tied with 8.5 points.
Oh, you're too close. This is like Louisville basketball games, and this is exactly why I don't like watching Louisville basketball games.
Amen.
Unless they're winning by 25 points, I am always at the edge of my seat, and I don't like this one bit.
But that's fun, being at the edge of your seat. You like paid for the whole thing, but you only need the edge.
Don't like it.
The Unforgivable Curses. So Snape's been in a real bad mood lately, and they think it's because of Moody. Moody.
Oh, is he being really moody right now?
He's being so moody. So he keeps, like, eyeing him. He's been particularly vindictive to students. So they notice this. They think maybe, you know, it's because he wanted that Defense Against the Dark Arts position he's been just, like, gunning for this whole time. Who knows? There seems to be a history. Hermione's been in the library a lot. She's always running off there, getting to classes just on time from the library. What is she doing? Does she have another time turner?
Probably.
But they're all really excited because today is their first class with Professor Moody in Defense Against the Dark Arts. And they've heard great things from Fred and George. They hear he is awesome and cool and totally on top of it. So they get there, and of course he walks in, like, all grand-like with this cool, like, clawed foot, wooden foot, which sounds really baller. And he pulls a Dead Poets Society, like, Captain My Captain on them, and he's like, you don't need books in this class! Rip out all the pages of your books! And they stand on desks. No, they don't do that. So anyway, he tells them no books, he takes roll call and everything, and then they get started, and he's like, just so you know. Well, first of all, Ron, he says, just so you know, Dumbledore doesn't think that, you know, Dumbledore thinks that you need to learn all this stuff, and I have a lot to teach you in just a year. And Ron asks him if he's only staying for a year, but he, you know, Moody smiles, and he's like, your dad just got me out of all sorts of trouble, so I'm not going to get mad at you for being a jerk about that.
But also not answer your question, apparently.
Well, so. No, but he says that he's only staying for a year.
Oh.
And he's doing it as a favor to Dumbledore. He came out of retirement for 1 year, and that's all he's giving him. So after all this discussion, he says, you know, they won't teach you this until your sixth year, but you need to learn about real curses that wizards can do to each other and perpetrate on each other. And they're horrible. The ministry doesn't think you're old enough, but just because you're not old enough doesn't mean you're not going to see them. And Dumbledore and I agree that you need to not learn how to cast them, obviously, but you need to learn how to defend yourself against it or how to recognize these curses. So he asks the class, you know, who knows what are some very bad curses that can be perpetrated that are against wizarding law, essentially. A couple of people raised their hand. The first person to answer is actually Ron, and Ron says the Imperius Curse, because his dad has told him about it. And so he's like, oh yeah, your dad would know, because the Imperius Curse has caused the ministry a lot of trouble. So he takes his jar of spiders, much to Ron's dismay, and he casts a spell. He says Imperio, and the spider that he casts a spell on starts doing all sorts of tricks and flips and somersaulting and does like a tap dance and is clearly under his control. The whole class is laughing. And Moody is like, you wouldn't be laughing if someone did this to you. And essentially tells him that he could make that spider drown itself. He could make that jump out the window. Oh. Yeah, he could do all sorts of yeah. He could do all sorts of terrible things. It's super cruel. Yeah. And so it's definitely not funny. And we hear for the first time Moody's catchphrase, which is constant vigilance, because you constant need to be vigilance. Careful. You need to be careful. Somebody could cast this upon you. So after doing this, he asks them, does anybody else know any other, curses that are against wizarding laws? And surprisingly, Neville raises his hand, which
he never raises his hand.
It's very timid, but he does it. And Professor Moody calls on him and he says with this like very timid voice, he says, Cruciatus Curse. And, you know, Moody acknowledges, he goes, oh, your name's Longbottom, right? And he says, yeah, it is. He says, you know, he says that in order to see this curse, we have to make the spider bigger. So it makes the spider bigger. Again, Ron is freaking out, because I would totally be freaking out if I were Ron if you were making a moth bigger on me. And
it would literally just flap around your face.
It would be Nope, we're not getting into this. Anyway, so he makes the spider bigger to show the effects of this curse. And he casts another curse. And he says, Crucio. And the spider curls up in absolute agony. And it's clear that it's suffering. And that if it is, Harry remarks, like, if it had a voice, it would be screaming right now. And Hermione's like, stop, stop, stop. And Harry notices that she's not looking at the spider. She's looking at Neville, who is just horrified and freaking out. So finally, you know, he stops and he says, you know, you don't need, Moody says, you don't need thumbscrews to cause pain. This will, you know, this is a very popular curse with Death Eaters. So that curse is out of the way. He has one more spider left. And he says, does anybody know the last curse that's against wizarding laws? And Hermione finally answers and says, Avada Kedavra, which is, of course, the killing curse. The worst curse that there is. There is actually no defense against the killing curse. So he's just showing them what it looks like, I guess, to show them what it looks mm-hmm. like, which is kind of horrifying because, I mean, I guess if somebody's casting a spell at you that wants to hurt you, you're going to try and dodge it anyway. And if there's no way to defend it, I don't know why he would show it to someone, but he does. So he casts this curse, which is the same as its name, Avada Kedavra, and a green light comes out and the spider just dies. It loses all of its life. And Harry suddenly has this realization that that's how his parents died. He's had this whole vision.
Ooh.
He's had this whole vision. He knows that that's the killing curse that was used to kill his parents. You know, he knows that Voldemort came in and his dad tried to stop him, and, you know, he threw the killing curse at his dad. His mother tried to protect him and said, no, take me instead. Killing curse. And he just realized that there's no, that not that there's no suffering, but it's just one minute they are alive and the next minute all of their life has been taken from them and they just are dead.
Oh my God.
And it's just horrible. Yeah, it's a horrible realization for somebody that young to have. And Moody tells them that, you know, there isn't any curse, counter curse, and only one person has survived the killing curse, and that one person is in front of him. And that's Harry. And Harry's obviously...
Harry!
Yeah.
Dun, dun,
yeah,
dun.
Obviously Harry's very embarrassed by this. So that's the end of the lesson. Obviously, Moody shouts about constant vigilance a lot more, telling them to look out because, you know, somebody's going to try and cast a killing curse. He can't do anything about it. But on their way out, they notice that Neville is really in bad shape. Hermione asks him if he's okay, if he needs anything. Professor Moody finds him and offers to bring him upstairs for a cup of tea because he's clearly really shaken. And they're like, that's really strange, you know. So they go back to their common room and they're doing all of their homework. You know, Harry and Ron have to make predictions for Trelawney's class and they're making ridiculous things like they're going to get trampled by a hippogriff, or they're going to drown, or they're going to get in a fight. And Harry's like, oh, I was going to get in a fight. And he's like, I'll just lose a bet instead. And Ron says, yeah, you lose a bet that I was going to win my fight. So this is a very good use of their time. Hermione's still not there. Finally, Hermione comes back.
Is she still using the time charm?
I don't know. She comes back and she has this big box and it's kind of rattling. Crookshanks is bothered, all this stuff. And like, Hermione, what have you been doing? And she shows them this whole box of buttons that are filled with these buttons that say S-P-E-W. And that stands for the Society for the Promotion of Elvish Welfare. Hermione has been trying to fight for elvish rights. Yes. S-P-E-W, or SPEW as Ron points out, is a newly formed organization. Ron asks, how many people are in it? She goes, if you join, there will be three. Ron, you're going to be treasurer, so we're going to collect some money so that we can, you know, support our brochure and pay for the buttons. And Harry, you're going to be a secretary. Start writing down. This is our first meeting. They're stunned. She tells them that she actually was going to call it Stop the Outrageous Abuse of Fellow Magical Creatures and Campaign for a Change in Their Legal Status. But that wouldn't fit on the button. So they're stunned into silence. When they're in stunned silence at all of this, because apparently this is what Hermione's been doing at their free time, there's a knock at the window, a little tap. Guess who it is? It's Hedwig.
Pig Hagrid.
Oh, it's Hedwig. Shit. It's Hagrid. He has rock cakes for them. No, it's Hedwig. Hedwig has a letter. The letter is from Sirius. Sirius says...
Yay,
he's not dead. He finally has responded. They're all really happy about this. However, he says he's flying there immediately because he's really worried that Harry's scar is hurting because there's been all of these signs that are pointing to Voldemort's return. And, you know, Dumbledore has invited Moody to teach, which is another sign that things are happening. And he can't really talk right now, but he'll talk to him soon. Harry is really upset. He realizes that he shouldn't have told him about his scar hurting because now he's going to come back and he's going to get caught and he's going to get in big trouble. Sirius, not Harry. And he's really, really worried for Sirius's safety. Hermione is like, wait, what is happening? You told he's coming back. And Ron's like, your scar's hurting. There's all these signs. Like, they're both just completely just confused. And so Harry's like, I'm going to my room. And he goes up to his room. Ron and
so many things going on right
now. I just have feelings, okay. He goes up to his room, gets into bed. Ron eventually comes up. Everyone's asleep. Except that Harry realizes that there's no snoring from Neville, which means that there's one other person who's lying awake that night. And that's the end of the chapter. Yeah.
Well, maybe Neville.
So this chapter, we're introduced to the unforgivable curses, which are the Imperius Curse, which somebody can use to control other people. We have the Cruciatus Curse, which can be used to torture people. And Avada Kedavra, which will kill you. All these are against wizard law. And Moody points out that if one of the students had tried to cast Avada Kedavra at him, he doubts that he would get more than a bloody nose. Because you really have to have real feeling behind these curses, because they're so heinous, essentially. I think we're going to learn more about each of these curses in turn, but that's, you know, that's kind of where it is. Oh, when Neville was having tea with Moody, Moody did give him a book. And that book has to do with underwater plants. Because Moody...
Like gillyweed.
Oh!
Yeah. Which is a very interesting plant. Yeah, it was very nice of him. Because he heard that Professor Sprout had said that Neville was a very good student. So he is reading this book very casually that's going to have nothing to do with anything.
I doubt it, yeah.
And we are also...
That's very nice of him, though, to take an interest in his interest.
Yeah, and actually, Harry points out that it's something that Lupin would have done. That you know, because Neville doesn't really hear a lot of compliments. So Lupin would have totally found, knowing someone was down, would have found a way to lift them up. So he's really happy with that. But we also learned Moody's catchphrase, which is, constant vigilance! And I think that...
constant vigilance, Harry!
In which you guys gotta have. You just gotta have all that vigilance. So, so that was my chapter. My question
Thank you,
is,
Sarah,
guys, what's
for
up
the
with Neville?
Chapter.
Guys, what's going on with Neville?
He's just fucking stressed. They're like all these, they're not there yet. There's all these things happening and new stuff that there's no Quidditch.
How inappropriate. Also, how inappropriate is it to, I don't know. I realize that they're probably all going to have to face it. They could face the Dark Lord the next day. But it's kind of inappropriate to show these students these curses. And there's got to be some sort of ethics behind it. Maybe it's like testing mice. Like, I feel like there might be some ethics behind casting spells on creatures. But maybe not. I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm all for it.
I don't know.
But these spells aren't, like, restricted to... I guess they should be restricted to dark wizards, but they aren't really, because if you really wanted to use them, you could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. No, I'm sure. And I'm sure, you know, obviously we talk about how Death Eaters use all of these curses and, you know, particularly not necessarily always Avada Kedavra, but definitely the Cruciatus and Imperius curses. But you have to imagine that there were some people, you know, who were fighting against Voldemort who probably used them as well. So I think it has to do with the actual passion or intention behind it, you know?
Got it.
So, I don't know. Do you guys have any questions?
I don't think so. I have a theory as to what's up with Neville, but I feel like it'd be a spoiler.
Okay. Well, then you should keep it to yourself.
But my dogs are going nuts, so.
They have a lot of questions.
They have a lot of questions, like, where are all the dogs that were affected in this Great Wizarding War? Why haven't we dealt with this before?
Well, if you think about
it. That's Scobie saying all these things.
If you think about it, you could probably, like, if you use the Imperius Curse on an animal and not on a person, you probably wouldn't notice as quickly that there's something out of character. So you could have, like,
that's true.
You could use a dog to... you know, pick up something in someone's house. You know, I don't know. I'm just saying.
But Jaya's dog really, because, is like, so well behaved. It just, he just immediately sits whenever he's told, and he just follows. He's such a good dog.
Oh, but that's not, well, yeah, I guess you get imperial.
You could.
That's what I would use it for.
I mean, yeah. Did you know that, Americans during the Cold War tried to put mics on cats and use them as spies? It didn't work out very well, but...
I was also going to say, you could literally just probably Imperious any other dog on the street and try to get him to walk into my house, and I'd be like, oh, dog, come on in.
Yeah, you'd be real that would easy, also Mark. Work.
You didn't have to Imperious my dogs.
Yeah, you could Imperious someone else's dog.
You could literally use any other dog. So thank you for your chapter, Sarah.
Thanks, good guys.
Job, Sarah.
Good job, Sarah. Hey, dudes.
Hey.
We're literally two girls, so.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. So I have not been able to sleep for the last 2 weeks thinking about Peeves of Poltergeist. I just can't. I was like, why? I need to do some more research. I need to know more. I need to learn about Peeves.
Your thirst for knowledge. I was like, your thirst for knowledge is so great, Michael. It's very admirable.
It's
not because Bajaya told me I had to do it. That's not why.
Which would also be a very valid reason to be losing sleep.
It would be. So I read the J.K. Rowling's short story. Well, it's like a collection of like micro stories, like teeny tiny stories where she covers like politics and stuff. But also she covers poltergeists for funsies.
Yeah.
And there's some neat stuff in there. There's not a lot of stuff in there, but there's some neat stuff.
It doesn't matter. It's the quality, not the quantity, Michael.
It is. Okay, so I think we said this last time, but I'm going to say it again because it's a fun fact. Poltergeist means noisy ghost in German. So that's where that comes from. But Peeves or poltergeists are not really ghosts at all. I think we also knew this. They're essentially invisible entities that move objects, slam doors, and create other audible kinetic disturbances.
I like that term. So audible kinetic disturbances.
If they're invisible, Peeves could have been... Peeves definitely was in all the movies.
That's true.
There you go.
Yeah.
So essentially, they just are like generated in places, especially where like adolescents gather. And so the theory is that, like, not since these are not only adolescents, but like magical adolescents in Hogwarts, that is what birthed Peeves into existence.
All of their angst, and pent up sexual energy as like little prepubescent teenagers is just like created a monster.
It just birthed Peeves into the world.
That makes sense, actually.
And Peeves is actually one of the most notorious poltergeists in all of British history. I don't know if you guys know this or not.
Is there like a feature in like Poltergeist Weekly or?
Oh yeah.
Did he get a plaque? I mean,
Ghostly Digest.
He's in the Poltergeist Hall of Fame.
Oh wow!
But nobody knows where it is because it's all invisible.
Invisible. So he is one of the few poltergeists that can take physical form. There are not many. And he can turn invisible at will. So just anytime he wants, boom, he's invisible.
He's gone. Like when the Bloody Baron is nearby.
Right. He's well named, y'all, because essentially he has been the pet peeve of every caretaker. of every caretaker.
Wow. Do you think he adopted that name, or do you think he's like internally, he's like, my name is actually Brian. Like, do you think... I don't know. Do you think that he, like, doesn't have a name? So he's like, Peeves is just as good as anything, or... I don't know.
He's crazy, who knows? But yeah, ever since Hankerton Humble was appointed the caretaker by the four founders of Hogwarts, Peeves has been annoying caretakers. So Peeves has been at Hogwarts for the entire time that Hogwarts has existed.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's actually kind of cool.
Whole time.
Is he, like, the only being who has been there that whole time, except for maybe the Grey Lady.
The Bloody Baron.
Yeah, well, I don't know about the Bloody Baron, but Grey Lady, because Grey Lady is well, spoiler alert, isn't that Ravenclaw?
Well, yeah, but the Bloody Baron and the Grey Lady died at the same time, so I would imagine that they have been haunting They've been ghosts at Hogwarts, the same time.
So some people do have a perverse fondness for him because he does add a certain zest of life to their school days. But it is the caretakers who eventually have to clean up all of his destruction, since he does like to smash things and drop solid objects on students' heads in the hallways and fun stuff like that, which seems very, very dangerous.
Peeve smash.
So there have been several attempts to get rid of Peeves.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So people have tried to get rid of him. The last one and the most disastrous one was in 1876 by a caretaker named Rancorus Carpe.
He tried to carpe diem and try to get Peeves out of there, but he was not successful.
He did not seize that day.
All of his rancor was not
So his idea was he gathered up a bunch of weapons.
Like
blunderbusses and crossbows like all of these things.
All these 1870s contemporary muskets and crap.
So he gathered all of these things up because he figured, and he put them all in one place because he figured Peeves wouldn't be able to resist himself, and he would go try to get the weapons because Peeves apparently is a murderous evil being. And so his plan was he was going to drop a magical bell jar full of containment charms on top of Peeves, and then he would capture him, and then he'd be able to take him and, I don't know, flush him down the toilet or something. But he dropped the bell jar, and it worked. Peeves went for the stuff, and he dropped the bell jar on him, but then Peeves just smashed right through it, and glass went everywhere, showered everyone, and the castle actually had to be evacuated. Because Peeves, now he had all these weapons, so he was just shooting things and threatening to kill people and fun stuff like that.
And that's what Sylvia Plath's bell jar is about.
Yes.
Aww.
So there was a 3-day standoff, which finally ended.
Oh, no.
Yeah, 3 days. 3 days of Peeves holding down this place. Amazing. Which ended when headmistress Eupraxia Mole actually signed a contract with Peeves, which involved things like Peeves was allowed to take a once a week swim in the boys' toilets.
Why the boys' toilet?
I don't know.
Because he's a boy. On the first floor for some reason.
I guess. Peeves has a first refusal on all stale bread from the kitchens for throwing purposes, theoretically in perpetuity. And then he also demanded to have a new hat made for him by Madame Bonhabille of Paris. Bonhabier.
What kind of union did he use to...
Also, I was going to say, how come he has the best... How come he's the best legal representation of any being we've seen in these books so far?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Those are great facts. I'm glad I know that.
So they signed off on all these things, and then no one's ever tried to get rid of him since then because it went so horribly wrong.
Also, magical contracts, we might someday learn, are hard to break.
Yes, someday. So, I mean, theoretically, maybe you could get rid of him still, but I don't know. I guess it's too risky to try. Also, Rancorus Carpe took early retirement for health reasons.
I super love Rambo Peeves in Hogwarts, just manically cackling as he puts on
war paint.
with his hat that maybe his hat got destroyed. That's why he knew.
Oh man. So he does recognize some authority. He just essentially just agrees to stay out of classrooms while teachers are teaching. So that's just like a thing he does. He just doesn't go in there because...
Boring.
Yeah.
Teachers be teaching, am I right?
And he does show an affinity for some rare students like Fred and George Weasley.
He recognizes the kindred spirit.
Yeah. And of course, he's afraid of the Bloody Baron. And then she leaves off with saying, "But his true loyalties were revealed in the great battle of Hogwarts." So essentially, you know, Peeves loves Hogwarts.
Aww.
Right?
It's so his that's home. Why
he, yeah. That's why he doesn't push things too far, I guess. That's why he hasn't actually murdered anyone.
So, Peeves presumably. always Anytime Peeves showed up in the books, it really annoyed me because I know he's supposed to be comedic relief, but he just rubbed me the wrong way the whole time. But except when Fred and George left and he was like, they're like, you're going to be the disruptor. And he fucking took it to heart and just annoyed the shit out of Umbridge. And yeah. I was like, all right, I'm into it now. I love it.
Team Peeves.
Nice. Yeah. Is it ever established why he's afraid of the Bloody Baron? Have we talked about this? Or is it just because he's terrifying?
I think the Bloody Baron is just scary. It does not address it. It literally just says that he's afraid of him.
I think everyone is afraid of the Bloody Baron. It's probably...
Yeah.
He probably just doesn't put up with nonsense. And he's just like...
He's too spooky.
I'll fuck you up.
I don't think... Can he actually do anything, though? I don't think he can actually do anything.
He can't. I think we talked about this... I think we talked about this last time and compared it to my fear of moths.
Right.
Yeah. I just couldn't... Yes. I just didn't know if you... Yes, because moths are terrifying. I mean, moths are actually horrifying monsters, but theoretically, they can't do anything to me.
It wouldn't be an episode of Your Wizard Area if we didn't cover the cost of galleons and Sarah's fear of moths.
The cost of wands.
Oh, sorry, the cost of wands.
Sarah's
galleons, one galleon. Scared.
Yeah, afraid of.
But I just didn't know if in your reading you'd come across an actual reason why Peeves had a history. No. If Peeves had a history with the Bloody Baron or not. Because sadly, they've presumably they've also been around the same amount of time. Like, he could have known him when he was still alive, right?
Yeah.
Peeves?
Yeah. Peeves could have known the Bloody Baron when he was still alive if Peeves had been around since the beginning of Hogwarts.
Right.
So, Sarah, I have a question.
Okay.
I think we've probably covered this before. Yeah. Do you also... Are you afraid of butterflies?
Yes. Yes.
I quit this podcast. I refuse to be on the podcast with Sarah.
So this is a quick side story, but this weekend my friend was in town and she wanted to go to the Natural History Museum, the Smithsonian, and I was like, yeah, we can definitely go. And we went into, they had an exhibit of like insects, and I was like, oh, I guess I'll go. They had a live butterfly room, and she was like, let's do it. And I was like, do you actually want me to die? I was getting in proximity knowing that it was in the next room. I couldn't even see it. I just started hyperventilating. I couldn't deal with it. It didn't happen.
All right. Well, I was going to say, I took my niece and nephew to a butterfly breeding place in
Louisville. Yeah, no. And I don't want anything to do with that.
My niece released two monarch butterflies. They, like, you can watch them come out of their cocoon.
That sounds horrific.
So I was going to say, next time you're in Lowell, if you only were scared of moths and not butterflies, I was going to be like, you should come here, and we can tell you, they can show you that they're basically the same thing, but if you're scared of both, then...
They are. They're bad. That's why, because butterflies are just glorified moths. They're just
maybe
moths with some
Peeves,
color.
Maybe Peeves moths. Is Sarah, and the Bloody Baron represents moths and butterflies, and that's why Peeves is scared of the Bloody Baron.
That's what I'm saying.
Done.
That's perfectly good logic.
It makes sense to me.
Thanks for doing this segment. It makes sense to me. Michael?
Yeah, I loved... I've got
pleasure.
A great visual of Peeves.
I love that he...
armed to the teeth.
Peeves is so good at bargaining. Bargaining. Not collective.
Seriously.
Bargaining.
It's so good.
He's like, I get the stale bread. I'll stay out of the classrooms.
And also the stale bread. Not for eating, for throwing.
Throwing.
Yeah.
That's great.
I love
that's
that Hogwarts stuff. Is like, yeah, that's fine. You can throw stale bread at students. That's a concession we will make.
And just put down the crossbow.
I was going to say, please.
But he also, I guess he, like, throws furniture, but not at students. So that's a good thing.
Right. Yeah.
Like you said, very thoughtful of him. Well, I guess we don't know if he has never killed a student, right?
I feel like
it would have saved.
That would have come up.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
But
thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. Hey, we are back with another beautiful round of Kickstarter backer thank yous. Thank you everyone so much for backing us. And this week we want to thank Kimberly Doyle Stone. I can't pronounce that one.
I have no idea who that is.
Stefan Adair, Daniel Tipton, Steve Atkins, Melissa Sadir, Amanda Welty, Alex Holly, Adam Cottrell, the beautiful and lovely Ben Cook.
He's not a good boy.
He's a very good boy. And Richard Cachelleris.
That's good effort.
What? It always ends with a hard one. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you for joining us for You're a Wizard, Ari. Special thanks to Alan Matthews, our editor, Jesse Carlton, who provided our artwork, and Sean Fagan, who provided our music. Hi friends, want to help us out? Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Or if you want to get in touch, email us at potterpod@geeklyinc.com. Want to talk to us on Twitter? Find us at potterpod. Or find me at Her Lady Tompkins. Michael is Thrifty Nerd, and Vijaya is Ethnic Ninja.
All right, so who do I go until?
One, two, Rachel Cachelleris.
Richard.
Jesus.
Oh, boy.
I'm just checking, guys. I just want to make sure that they get their name. Mm-hmm. I think it's Michael's turn, right, to announce it?
Sure.
Okay, great.
Michael. Right? Am I right?
I think you're right.
Okay. Hey! Wait, can we have that on record? Okay, sorry, continue.